liberty, and justice for all.
Call the roll.
Mrs. Rizzuto?
Here.
Mr. Johnson?
Here.
Mr. Malone?
Here.
Mrs. Lucky?
Here.
Mrs. McRoberts?
Here.
Mr. Myers?
Here.
Mrs. Pio?
Here.
Mr. Sutton? Mrs. Bissett?
Our first order of business will be the public hearing.
Yes, this is our public hearing on the code of conduct modifications that we made, just mirroring athletics with extracurriculars for drug and alcohol substance abuse violations.
Okay, now on to executive session. I'll entertain a motion to go to executive session for matters of special education. If not, we'll stay right here, and we're going to have a little change in the agenda. We're going right to item number 11 from business and finance.
This is the board acceptance of the annual audit for 2022 to 2023 school year. Bowers and Company prepared the audit. It was a clean audit with no significant audit findings or deficiencies and material weaknesses. Lori Podvin and Lindy Hill are present here today if the board has any questions.
And the board met, or the board finance committee met with the auditors, went through page by page very nicely, and we appreciate the time that Bowers and Company spent with us, and appreciate the feedback they've given us moving forward, but also appreciate the clean audit, if you will, for this year. Do you want to read it?
That having the recommendation of the audit committee and the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education of the Augsburg City School District does hereby accept the 2022-2023 audit as prepared by Bowers and Company CPA PLLC on the 16th day of October 2023.
Is there a recommended action?
Second.
Please call the roll.
Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Malone?
Aye.
Mrs. Lucky?
Aye.
Mrs. McRoberts?
Aye.
Mr. Myers?
Aye.
Mrs. Pio?
Aye.
Mrs. Rizzuto?
Aye.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys. Under general administration, I'll entertain a motion to accept the Committee on Special Education's recommendations of the meetings held on September 19th, 20, 21, 22, 26, 27, 28, 29, 2023, and October 3, 4, 5, 10 of 2023. Second. Please call the roll.
Mr. Malone?
Aye.
Mrs. Lucky?
Aye.
Mrs. McRoberts?
Aye.
Mr. Myers?
Aye.
Mrs. Pio?
Aye.
Mrs. Rizzuto?
Aye.
Mr. Johnson?
Aye. I'll entertain a motion to approve the regular meeting minutes of the meeting held on September 25th, 2023.
So moved.
Please call the roll.
Mrs. Lucky?
Aye.
Mrs. McRoberts?
Aye.
Mr. Myers?
Aye.
Mrs. Pio?
Aye.
Mr. Sutton?
Aye.
Mrs. Rizzuto?
Aye.
Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Malone?
Aye.
Mr. Kendall, are there any letters and communications to the board?
None this evening.
Are there any comments relative to the agenda? Under old business, report number one.
This is the final review and adoption of the proposed changes to the 2023-2024 Code of Conduct. That having the approval of Superintendent of Schools, the Board of Education of the Augsburg City School District is hereby adopt the revised Code of Conduct as presented for the 23-24 school year, the 16th day of October 2023.
Is there a recommended action?
So moved.
Second.
Please call the roll.
Mrs. McRoberts?
Aye.
Mr. Myers?
Aye.
Mrs. Pio?
Aye.
Mr. Sutton?
Aye.
Mrs. Rizzuto?
Aye.
Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Malone?
Aye.
Mrs. Lucky?
Aye.
On the new business, instructional division, report number two.
This is the readoption of the annual professional performance review, APPR plan for the Ogdensburg Supervisory Unit, OSU. That having the approval of the Superintendent of Schools, the Board of Education of the Ogdensburg City School District does hereby readopt the annual professional performance review plan for the Ogdensburg Supervisory Unit the 16th day of October 2023 as presented.
Is there a recommended action?
So moved.
Second. Please call the roll.
Mr. Myers?
Aye.
Mrs. Pio?
Aye.
Mr. Sutton?
Aye.
Mrs. Rizzuto?
Aye.
Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Malone?
Aye.
Mrs. Lucky? Lucky?
Aye.
Mrs. McRoberts?
Aye.
Report number three.
This is the readoption of the annual professional performance review APPR plan for the Ogdensburg Education Association, the OEA. That having the approval of the Superintendent of Schools, the Board of Education of the Ogdensburg City School District does hereby readopt the annual professional performance review plan for the Ogdensburg Education Association this 16th day of October 2023 as presented.
Is there a recommended action?
I'm sorry, I just have one question real quick, and just clarification. I haven't looked at this in so long. So we target the ELA and the science. We're not targeting math as an area.
That's their choice.
Okay,
OEA has, yeah, that's in negotiations. Yeah.
Perfect. And once the fifth grade science test has been established for a year, do you suspect that might come back to your elementary?
That depends on the teachers.
Got it. Perfect. Thank you.
Yep, you're welcome.
Mrs. Teo?
Aye.
Oh, yep. Mr. Sutton?
Aye.
Mrs. Rizzuto?
Aye.
Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Malone?
Aye.
Mrs. Lucky?
Aye.
Mrs. McRoberts?
Aye.
Mr. Myers?
Aye.
Report number four.
This is the 2023-2024 capital project update. We do have Sean Travers from BCA, Mr. Ben Maslona from Fiscal Advisors here this evening to give the board an update to the proposed capital project that will be hopefully going to voters this January. So without further ado,
perfect,
we'll turn it over to you.
Thank you. Nice to see everyone tonight.
Hi.
So we're happy to be here tonight, obviously. This is the first district-wide project since the 2010 referendum. It's almost 14 years ago now. So you should have received earlier in your board packets a more detailed scoping document. Tonight's presentation will generally follow along with that. We're going to hit the major highlights that are in that packet. But we do have roughly about a little under 40 slides, so we're going to move through them fairly quickly. So I do ask that you hold your questions until the end. Thereafter, Brian and I are going to turn it over to Ben. Ben's going to talk about the financial snapshot and how the project will be funded. So just to give you a little bit of background, we did start the planning process a little less than a year ago. Back in December, we had our first kickoff meeting. Had a number of building committee meetings since then. We met with staff, specifically focus groups with the physical education department, the technology instructors here at OFA. We met with the music department from Medill, and then we also met with your mechanics regarding the new transportation facility. So we had a number of walkthroughs with our architecture engineering team. We did a lot of rounds of cost estimating. We put together a number of concept drawings, which we're going to show you here tonight. We also did a preliminary submission to State Ed on the transportation facility for funding purposes. We came back, had several other meetings to prioritize those needs, and then refine the scope, which we have here tonight. First and foremost, the objective is to enhance the learning environment, also the long-term sustainability of the facilities. Through that, there's a focus on program needs, health and safety, handicap accessibility, building deficiencies, and energy conservation. So starting to look at the drawings themselves and the scope, we begin first here at the Ogdensburg Free Academy Golden Dome campus. The first item is the athletic field upgrades. The areas that you see in green, those are the natural turf areas that back in the 2014 project, were only top dressed at that time due to funding constraints. So under this project, we'd be looking at removing the underlying clay soils and importing topsoil in those areas. Also looking to extend the irrigation line, which basically runs from the soccer field over to 37. So that would be extended to try to reach some of those other areas outside of the ability that the cannons can shoot. Also, the bleachers over at the soccer field, looking at reconditioning those bleachers, replacing the displaced chain link fencing that wraps around the backside, and replacing the asphalt walkway. And then in the the front of the building here, you'll see the little circle down here at the bottom. This is a new message center, so we'd be looking at not only replacing your existing message center, but also moving it from the Golden Dome out in front of OFA. So then moving on to the building envelope at OFA, all these areas in yellow, these are all EPDM roofs that date back to 2000, 2001. So those are no longer under warranty. You are starting to get some of the seams that are starting to split with the overlaps in the different sections of EPDM. So we'd be looking at restoring all of those EPDM roofs that you see in yellow. Also on the building envelope, we're looking at exterior wall restoration, so that would include masonry restoration, as well as continuing the work of 2014 in replacing those deformed steel lintels above window openings that are in the 1934 wing. Also looking at replacing windows along the CSE office, as well as the district office, so those windows and curtain wall systems would be replaced as part of that. Over on the left-hand side would be addressing the technology area, so updating the woodworking, the metalworking, the drafting classroom. So in all of those spaces, we'd be looking at addressing finishes, equipment, life safety features, specifically with the equipment. Also separating the mechanical system between the metalworking and the art room, which has a little overlap right now. Trying to isolate the welding area specifically in the metalworking area and making those types of improvements. The area in the far left-hand corner, that's the former Bosey's print shop, looking at changing that into a creative classroom. So this is what the space looks like now. There's a computer lab up there, a former office, and then where the print shop was before. So we'd be looking at utilizing all three of those spaces for the CREATE program, developing a lecture area, a kitchenette area, and then this would kind of be the shop area down below. So also on the first floor of OFA, looking at upgrades to the gymnasiums. I'll focus on the main gym here in a minute, but the auxiliary gym, we're looking at sanding and restoring the wood floors and replacing the bleachers. Also in the building, we're looking at mechanical system upgrades, specifically in the 1934 wing, converting that from a steam system to a hot water system. So that would be on all floors, specifically in that 34 wing. And then updating the public address system and going to an IP system that would be throughout the entire facility. So the main gym, unlike the auxiliary gym where we're looking at sanding the floor down, this is a little bit older, original wood floor to this facility. So we'd be looking at removing the wood floor down to the concrete slab, putting back a new wood floor, new bleachers, changing out the basketball backstops, as well as the scoreboard system. So those would all be replaced in the main gym. Up on the third floor, the main focus here is basically swapping the robotics classroom from Home and Careers. Right now, Home and Careers is in this small space down here with another small space next to it that's used for sewing. The sewing room basically just has enough room for the equipment, not really for anybody to utilize it. So what makes more sense is going back to what we had looked at back in the 2010 project, actually, and opening these three spaces up so that you've got a lecture space, two kitchenette areas, one full handicap accessibility, and then a larger sewing area off to the far side. The former Home and Careers would then be gutted. We take out all the kitchenette, the equipment could be relocated to the new space, and then renovating that entire space for robotics with tables, the power that they need, cabinets, so it'd be specific to that building. In addition to the mechanical upgrades going from steam to hot water, also be looking at changing out the boilers. So we'd be replacing the fire tube boilers, steam fire tube boilers, with more efficient condensing boilers. So that would up your efficiency of your boilers from roughly about 80 to 82% up to about 92 to 95%. In addition to that, on this lower level, it'd also be addressing the needs of the pool equipment room. As I'm sure you know, it continues to be problematic as far as the corrosive atmosphere with both the chlorine and the acid down in that space. So we'd be looking at creating dedicated rooms for acid injection as well as for your chlorine injection. And then taking the fan coil out of that space and putting it up in the penthouse area. So in total, construction costs at OFA would be just under $23.7 million. That's construction costs only, but it does include escalation, general conditions, and contractor overhead and profit. Then moving on to the Golden Dome, starting first on the exterior shell. Looking at the main roof itself, we're looking at doing a number of things both inside and outside. So on the outside, we would be looking at raking and resealing all the caulk joints in between the metal panels, replacing the seamless gutter that wraps the entire outside perimeter, and replacing the metal fascia panels, which is down low along the outside of the gutters. On the inside, we'll be taking down that white vinyl bat insulation, and then in behind that is a spray foam insulation that's on the roof. That would all be cleaned off, and put new spray foam underneath, and a new a vinyl wrap system underneath there. Other envelope improvements would be replacing the wood barrel vault roof that's over the south stair. That's the original wood structure that was put back in the 1970s. So we're looking at tearing that off and putting a steel structured roof and EPDM system on top of that. And then also restoring the six concrete abutments that were last addressed back in 2008. So those would be cleaned up and resealed as part of the outside. On the inside, what we're looking at doing is replacing the handicap lift that goes up to the spectator level. Reconstructing both the hockey and football locker rooms. So it's be team rooms 1 and 2 and 4, 5, and 6. Removing the former supervisor office, which is above these storage rooms off to the front of the building. Making a number of ice rink upgrades, replacing the overhead netting system of the hockey rink. And then also replacing dasher boards, going to a safer check flex system that actually absorbs when the players impact the boards. So that would be part of the project. Restroom reconstruction. We're actually looking at removing the two public restrooms, which are down on the main level. You actually have to go down a set of stairs to access both of those now, so there's no handicap accessibility associated with those. So with the removal of this supervisor office, we're actually looking at reconstructing those public restrooms up front, so it'd be in between the two main entrances into the facility. And then where those bathrooms used to be, we'd raise that floor and turn those into storage rooms that could be accessed from the main floor. Looking at addressing the dehumidification unit, replacing that unit, hopefully to alleviate that fog that you see in the earlier months once the ice is down, particularly in October and November. Temperature control upgrades, changing out the pneumatic systems to direct digital control, so it would be on the building management system. Making a number of plumbing system upgrades, so we're looking at removing the hot water heater and the three storage tanks that are in the Zamboni room. So that would go to a on-demand tankless system, similar to what we're doing right now here at OFA. Also looking at changing out the two sewage ejection pits right now, which are very corroded and no longer contain the odors, particularly the one that's in the chiller room right now. So those would be replaced. So these are just some enlarged plans to show you what this might look like. So this is the hockey locker room. So again, removing the public restroom, looking at reconstructing the players' bathroom inside of team rooms 1 and 2. The team rooms would be redone, all new finishes, new lockers, integrated benches as part of that. Again, all new finishes, LED lighting, we're looking at updating the HVAC system, possibly putting a new system that would be closer to this end of the locker room. This would be the football locker room, similar to what we're looking at for the hockey room. We're looking to try to open up these two team rooms here into one, so the football players are less divided. Right now they're in three separate rooms when they come into the space. So again, updating those locker rooms, new finishes, new bathrooms, again, LED lighting, new HVACs as well. This just shows you what the bathroom looks like. So no increase in fixture counts compared to what you have now, but it is a lot more open space, accommodates more people in there, and obviously handicap accessible. So with the Golden Dome, we're looking at a total of about $5.4 million in construction costs there. And I'll turn over to Brian.
Thank you, Sean. Good afternoon, good evening, Board. So first we're going to start with Kenny Elementary with the site. There's a couple scope items for this building, and the first is reconstructing the drive and parking lot behind the building off of Jersey Ave. After COVID, more and more parents are dropping students off, so the congestion on Jersey Ave has gotten worse, so the intention is to try to bring a drive right around so that it takes more people off of Jersey Ave and gets them closer to the building. In addition, it also takes the existing or the new parking lot there away from the drop-off loop itself. The next scope item is resurfacing the two playgrounds. This third one here is the most recent one, so we'd replace that with the same carpet system. Just like over here at OFA, at Kennedy, all the areas there in yellow color is out of warranty EPDM system. So in this project, we're looking at replacing those with new EPDM roofing systems. Inside the building, we have four scope items. The first one, all the yellow that's in the classrooms, is mechanical upgrades, and that includes cabinet unit ventilator replacements. In the APE gym, we're looking at taking the two units that are on the wall there and removing those and replacing with a rooftop unit. Next item is domestic water system upgrades. And the final item is the public address system update or replacement. So for John F. Kennedy Elementary, construction-wise, we're looking at just under $7.3 million. On to Medill, their current site plan, we've got three major scope items here. The first one is relocating the playground that's right now back by the fencing, trying to bring that much closer to the building for security. The area in blue is a new band addition that's being proposed. I'll actually get a little more information for you in the next couple slides. And the final item on the south side of Medill Elementary, that yellow color, is for the last asphalt parking lot reconstruction. The other lots were all replaced in the previous capital improvements project. So this is finishing off the last parking lot there. Inside the building, similar to Kennedy Elementary, the classroom's all in yellow. We're going to be doing mechanical upgrades. So that again includes cavity unit ventilators along the outside walls and their associated metal shelving. Again, the blue item there is the band addition, how it relates to the rest of the building. Inside the kitchen, we're doing kitchen reconstruction there. We're going to be replacing the freezer, the cooler, and the air handler that serves the kitchen. Another item is the stage. Currently, we're scheduling the project as curtain replacement, sound replacement, and lighting replacement on there, along with the bleachers that are right on the front of the stage. Those will be replaced. And like I mentioned, the band room itself, this is a large plan of what it could look like. We did meet with the band teachers and kind of looked through various options with them. They asked for a flat floor system, so we gave them a flat floor system. This gives them a room for about 50 students or so. I would include instrument storage cabinets along the perimeter. I would give a band teacher office right out in the corner. I'll also give them a sink right at the main entrance so they can wash instruments. And then also be adding acoustical treatment to the space as well. So at the deal, we're looking at just under $5.4 million for that work. And the final building in the proposed project is the proposed transportation facility. So this is located on a lot that's between Route 812 and Route 37 on-ramp. Currently, it's not owned by the district yet. It would be part of the project or the vote to get the property. So the intention is to provide an access drive right down here, right off of Route 812. There'll be a gate at the main entrance so that everybody's not coming down the drive. So that'll take you back to the new proposed transportation facility right in here. This facility will have a spot for 25 vehicle parking along with 14 bus parking spots. And then right down in here, we've got a 4,000 gallon tank that'll serve the buses.
So just to touch on the utilities, I have reached out and talked to Ogdensburg Bridge and Port Authority, their engineer, Carl Johnson. They're in the process of actually making utility connections to both the city of Ogdensburg's water and also into the forest main, which is kind of this dashed line that kind of runs through the property here. So they're already in the process of doing that, so that actually will save quite a bit of money for the district. When we get ready to make connection to that facility.
Is that tying into the project that's currently happening?
Yeah, they're out to bid right now.
Right.
It's a little tricky because of the municipalities that are involved. So you've got the city of Ogdensburg, you've got the town of Oswegatchie, and then you've got the village of Hamilton. So they do need to form, the town of Oswegatchie does need to form a new water sewer district. So I do know that that hasn't happened yet. They are trying to get that process work through the city, but they're moving ahead with it. The design's been done and it's out to bid right now. So hopefully by the time we're ready to break ground on that, that'll all be in place, and it's just a matter of making a connection right there in your own property.
So the next slide here is the proposed transportation facility plan. Right here would be the main entrance. And when you first come in, off to this left side here will be the transportation office. To the right, it's a training room. As you continue down the hallway here, you got a couple toilet rooms off to the left, which will take you straight down into the three-bay repair garage. One of the bays, right in the middle, that'll have a pit in the floor for mechanical work on the underside of the buses instead of going with a lift. Over here, we've got a mechanics locker room and a toilet for them, along with some storage above there, and then the mechanical room up in here. On the far left side, there's a bay that's specific for washing buses. And then in between the repair bay and that is a equipment room that will house all the equipment for the wash bay. And finally, we've got some proposed elevations of what the building could look like. We're looking at either a block or a stone down low on the lower half, and then a metal skin for the rest of the upper half. Some large overhead doors, some FRP man doors, and then again, right over the main entrance here, just a curved canopy to protect the door. So the cost for the proposed transportation garage is just under $8 million construction.
Does that include the site excavation as well?
Yes. Yeah, so then this next slide, before we turn it over to Ben, this just gives you a snapshot of all the buildings and the costs that are related. So with a construction contingency of roughly about 10% and then an incidental cost of about 20%, you're looking at OFA cost of about 31.2, almost 31.3 million. The Golden Dome, about 7.1 million. Kennedy, 9.6. Medill, 7.1. And then the transportation, 10.1. So in total, we're looking at about $65.5 million for all the improvements that we just talked about. Ben, your slides.
Hi everyone. So at this point, my role is to explain kind of the finances to everybody. In general, I've been assisting the district to make sure that these costs fall within what we call cost allowances and to maximize the building aid of the district. Assuming the project passes, then I'll be responsible for assisting with the financing, making sure everything comes to fruition. I apologize, some of these might be a little small. I think you have handouts as well. But one of the things we first look at with any capital project is what's called the maximum cost allowances. So in a nutshell, there is a maximum amount you can spend on every building within the district and receive your building aid. Your building aid is 98%, which is the highest aid ratio that the state has to offer. So in any capital project, the district or the taxpayers are responsible for roughly 2%. So you can't go any higher than 98. So when we're looking at a project, we want to make sure that those costs that Sean and his team just went over fall within these maximums. If you look at OFA, which is the first building, you'll see there's going to be a total cost allowance for that building of $48 million for construction. And then what happens is every project you've done within the last 5 years, of which you have not done significant projects recently, so it's only within the last 5 years, you subtract all those projects and it leaves you with what is available today. So as of today, you can spend almost $47.8 million in construction at OFA and receive 98% aid back on that. We're nowhere even near that, so that's a safe one. That goes for every building. I've run the calculation, and I won't go over each one in detail. But the OFA, the bottom half of the sheet, is what's called incidental cost allowances. That is site work and all of your soft costs. So that's the one that we typically will see issues with, especially when you're doing projects that are site work heavy. So at OFA, it's about $12 million. You've only done small capital projects in the last 5 years. Right now you're at $11.9 million. We're well within those allowances. So we've done a detailed analysis of all of your buildings, OFA, Medill, Kennedy, and to see you make sure you're within allowances on all of them. One thing to note, that the Golden Dome used to be its own project that will now be pushed together with OFA, and that was a decision that the State Education Department made when we went through this exercise in the last project. The other thing that I just want to point out is this is for what you currently have now. So on the last project, we had to go through this whole review at the state level because we were doing additions at Kennedy. We don't have anything like that to worry about here. We're basically reconstructing facilities that you currently have, and everything we're doing falls within those allowances. So in that respect, you know, this is one of the most highly aided projects of this magnitude that I've worked on. Again, you'll have this in your packet. We did the analysis for all of your buildings, so we were good there. One thing you won't see on here is a transportation facility. Transportation facilities do not have a maximum. As long as you're building what is needed for your size district and your size fleet, you receive your 98% on that.
And as Sean mentioned, you've already gone through that discussion with the State Education Department. So we know that the $10.5 million facility you're building meets your building needs, meets your enrollment needs, and so it's going to receive its 98%. At this stage, and I apologize, this is a very busy sheet, but essentially what I do now is I take all of the aid that's coming back to the district, and I'm trying to lay out a capital financing plan. When are we going to borrow? How much are we going to borrow? Making sure we stay within IRS limitations. And making sure that on a yearly basis, the aid coming back to the district is greater than or equal to the debt service that you're paying. So that's what this sheet does. The key components or the key columns in this are column 8, which is estimated total debt service, column 9, which is your total building aid, and then what I call the estimated tax impact, which in this case is a negative number, which basically means you're generating more building aid on a year-over-year basis than you are paying out debt service. And that gives us the ability to go to the taxpayers and go to them with a project that's no tax increase. And this one's a little bit busy, but the next sheet, this is kind of a summary of what I like to call the important factors and what we would propose when we do public relations, simplify and streamline for like pie charts, and very simplified, because to be honest with you, when you're going out with a no tax increase project, that's all everybody really typically wants to know, is if my taxes are going to go up and what would that be. In this case, we're just going to go out with a very simplified message of no tax increase. But working left to right on this, the very top, the total project referendum would be $65.5 million. That is a not to exceed amount. So if it comes in lower, great. If it comes in higher, things have to be reworked. You can only spend what the taxpayers authorize. Available funds, the district has $4 million of a capital reserve. We're very diligent to set that aside. Essentially what that does is it allows you to borrow $61.5 million, but you're still receiving aid on a $65.5 million project. Borrow less, receive the same aid. Again, now we can go out with a no tax increase project. The district also has about $329,000 of Excel aid that's remaining. This was out in 2007. I think is when it came out. 2007, it was a grant program where the state incentivized schools to do capital projects. We used quite a bit of it on the last $57 million project, but the reality was we couldn't use all of it because you can only use it for the local share, so in your case, that 2%. So we still have some of that money left over. We're going to apply that. Your building aid ratio is 98%. Again, that's the highest you can possibly go. Bond percent, that's a fancy way of saying amount of the project that qualifies for building aid. So I never assume 100%, ever, unless it's one roof. That's all we're doing is one roof. This is a significant investment to your facilities. So I built in about $650,000 of non-aided items, because the reality is the state is probably going to pick something out that they don't like, and we just want to be prepared for that. If it comes in that we only have $100,000 of unable item, all to the good. But I always build in at least a little bit of cushion there. The term of building aid payback, that one's very important. For this project, all of the reconstruction, so all of the buildings that you are reconstructing, setting the transportation facility aside, reconstruction projects are aided over 15 years. So we will bond and make the debt service payable over 15 years. New transportation facility, it's going to be over 30 years. Anytime you build a new building, the state is going to amortize that aid over a longer period of time. The rationale is they believe that if you're building a brand new facility, it should last a long time. We should have to touch it for a long time. When we did the elementary JFK expansion on the last project, that was aided over 20 years. That was mostly an additions project. So it's 15, 20, or 30, and on this project, we have 15 and 30. Estimated local share for the project is a negative $24,000 a year. So essentially, over a 30-year period, I'm estimating you will actually generate $24,000 more per year in aid than you'll be paying out in debt service. I believe that's a fairly conservative estimate this time. On the bottom half of the chart just shows what does that mean for a home. Really, it's almost a non-issue in this case, only because, again, we're not increasing taxes. then we can go to the taxpayers that message, but I've just included that for informational purposes. So again, you know, as far as a overall project, I've worked on a lot of projects, going out with one that is completely within cost allowances, and a lot of the steps you've already taken as far as SED, commitment to the new transportation facility and things of that nature, a lot of that diligence has been done already. So it's, you know, you can come and stand before you with confidence that this financial picture we're presenting for the taxpayers is very true and very accurate.
Yeah. So that's just a quick timeline that we threw up there going forward. If everyone is acceptable and agreeable to what we've presented tonight, the next steps would be to submit letter of intent to go work for each building that we have that for the state in November. At the next board meeting, we'd be looking at passing resolutions for lead agency, seeker, the bond resolution, and then scheduling the vote. Publications for legal notices would occur between December and January. Newsletters, public meetings, that could occur December, January. Voter referendum, we've been talking about a January 23rd date. And then after that, we designed the first phase. We're looking at tackling at least the transportation facility, potentially some other higher need items to go along with that. So that would be designed from February to March. That would include the SED review period, the bid period, and then we'd be under construction in June of 2021.
Does it make sense to talk about the small city school district up on that?
Yeah, I've mentioned that to you guys a little bit over the last couple of months, but go ahead.
Yeah, so we had talked about doing a December referendum, but on November 7th, there is a proposition for New York State on the ballot to change the small city school district debt limit. So it's an odd scenario whereby all small city schools have a different debt limit than your central school district counterparts. And it's not only small city schools, but it's also any central school that has part of their property within a city. So Lisbon actually shares the same issue with Ogdensburg. Basically, your debt limit is about half of what your central school district counterparts is. And you can go over that and exceed the debt limit, which is what happened on the $57 million project, but it requires a 60% supermajority. And November 7th, if the proposition passes, it will actually change your debt limit from 5% of an average full value to 10% of your current full value, which is exactly what central school districts are. Basically, it would double your debt limit. Not really giving you anything more than your central school district counterparts, just basically putting you on an even playing field. We are hopeful that it will go through. That's on November 7th, so with this timeline, we will know the results of that proposition before you adopt your legal items. So we will know if that proposition passes, you will just need a simple majority for your project. If that proposition does not pass, then we would have to get a super majority, which was what we did for the last project.
And I'll be sending something out to the public in the next week or so for the November 7th vote to support this. And it's a nice little one-page flyer that says, here's what it means for us, here's what it doesn't mean. And the big thing that they're pushing is it does not mean higher taxes. It has nothing to do with taxes.
But that big
one. Yes, it will be on its own. So, but yeah, that'll go to the voters on November 7th, and if ratified on January 23rd, we'll only need a simple majority approval for the project.
I feel like I'm a little late to the party, but I just wanted to ask something. Sorry. Great presentation. Thank you very much. Was there any discussion about gang bathrooms and locker rooms being
Yep. Locker rooms are not aidable. We were trying to add on a whole.
Not in the dome, but even in.
OFA.
Yeah.
We talked about
to create more privacy and.
Oh, like, so you're talking about the okay.
Access to individual changing areas, if you will, or instead of gang bathrooms.
I don't know if we can do gang. I think we tried to do gang bathrooms in the last project, and State Ed won't.
Not gang, but I mean bathrooms with multiple stalls.
Oh, multiple stalls.
I used to terminology. Just trying, yeah.
We looked at team rooms, developing team rooms for incoming teams, so they wouldn't have to go upstairs to the boys' locker room. So we looked at team rooms, but we didn't necessarily look at individual.
We haven't looked at that in terms of separating their locker rooms.
These aren't necessarily sports related, but
We did not look at separate changing areas for that purpose. No.
So we do have some flexibility. I mean, obviously, with what we've got built in here, we've got a lot of construction contingency built in. There's design contingencies in there as well. So we know over the course of a project of this size, your needs are going to change. Things are going to come up. The scope's going to change a little bit to address those things. So that's certainly things we can look at once we start the design process.
We take a look at what it would take to take the existing footprint, modify it. I get it.
it's something that I've been talking about in my district.
Yep, I get it.
With the needs of our students changing, and I just think having that as an option in our private spaces is really important for our campus.
Agreed. We can take a look at that. Yep. We can take a look at that.
I had a couple questions.
Sure.
Would a handicap entrance not be aidable for the turf? On the right side of the bleachers was extra parking for handicapped people.
Yeah, so anything you do on the outside of the building is part of the incidental piece that Ben was talking about. So as long as it fits within that cost allowance, you can make that part of the project. It would be.
We were talking about putting a ramp onto the access point on the bleachers on the turf field, entering from where most of the handicapped parking spots are, right there on the end.
So there's
a ramp on both ends. Messina had a really good setup, actually, to be honest with you. I liked Messina's setup on how theirs was.
Yes,
it wasn't very big.
Picture.
I took a picture. Yes, I did.
They know how I'm really for this. Okay, and the other question I had was that vote in November, does that just involve small city school districts or districts as a whole?
Small cities.
Oh,
because it zeroes in on that part of the debt limit, which again only impacts small city schools and central schools that have property within cities.
But if our districts cross over, Lisbon
would benefit. Lisbon would benefit. Huvelton's not in the city. Lisbon actually has property within the city limits.
Within the city limits.
Yeah.
It's like a couple $1 million.
So that
not
would
a lot,
be a simple majority vote then.
That's where they get the money.
Lisbon also.
Correct.
Okay.
So see, you get your superintendent and your son benefit from this. So.
I'm curious about
this. But the handicap.
Yeah, I've got a picture of it, so I think we can probably
struggle to get all the way back around
here.
There's four or five back there on that side.
I just have a quick question. Years ago, our roofs then when we went back to the company, they all went out of business. Are our roofs in good condition now?
Except for the ones that we've highlighted. I mean, generally, you try to be proactive. You don't want to wait until your roofs fail. So the areas that weren't highlighted are still under warranty, so they're still prorated. You're still getting support for those roofs. When I looked at the roofs, I mean, they're not in terrible shape, but obviously you're beyond your warranty, so it's good to be proactive, especially at 98% building aid. You know, as part of the capital project, you're still probably 2 or 3 years out before it'll actually be done. So a lot can happen in that time frame, but yes, I mean, those ones that we highlighted on yellow are certainly in the replacement coming up in the near future.
It's hard with the flat roof.
Especially with all the freezing and jamming of stuff. What's that? I think it's probably. Good answer.
There it is.
It is
the answer.
I have a couple questions.
All the windows that you're replacing, are they going to be
bullet resistant on the first floor of the school. Do you have a quote on that?
That'll be a design decision when we get to it. You certainly have that option. You could go to bullet resistant glass. You could put film over the glass.
Well, you've got to look at cost too, right?
That's what I'm saying. Is it in there?
It's not in there. Those are design options to go with it. You've got to get the baseline window first. If it goes to a design, I don't know how much that's going to be. I mean, ballistic film.
That's what I want to know.
Right.
Are you going to do just film on all of it?
But remember, we've got money in our state budget each year for security upgrades. We can use that money for any additional costs if it's the film that goes over top of them. But we can look at it. I mean, we can certainly look at it as we cost it out once we get to that point.
Replacing windows on the first floor, I would assume. Upgraded.
But you got to remember, that's every single school building. That's Kennedy, Medill, and OFA's first floor.
I'm aware of that.
No, I'm just saying. I mean, from a cost perspective, we'll price it out. But
that's what I'm wondering. I'd like the price out.
Can you get your price?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Yeah, we did that for all the entrances.
All the entrances have that. So
I know. Yeah. I know that.
Yeah.
Any other questions for these, Jeff? How about air conditioning?
Like a smirk, so sorry.
Well, I mean,
yeah.
What is it? $8 million into the mechanical system upgrade. Is there any way to add a dollar to that and get central air or air conditioning into the buildings, into the rooms? I mean, I'm sure you have to ask administration what rooms we use in the summer for summer school and stuff. But sure
if we don't do them all, I mean, here's the problem, right? So. We use X number of rooms in the summer, and those are the only ones we air condition. And then the other rooms that are not air conditioned, then it becomes 85 degrees on a September day. There's just going to be infighting amongst staff. It's either kind
seniority.
Of
seniority.
That didn't work.
I mean, if you're going to air condition
everything.
Yeah.
Why not upgrade it?
I'm not a fan of the air conditioning everywhere because of the cost associated with it going forward. I mean, I don't know what I guess we could look at what it would cost.
Yeah, we've only got one district where we've gone through and fully air conditioned an entire building. There are pros and cons to it. One thing that we ran into this past summer, just as school was opening, we had that really hot spell, and the district's not used to having air conditioning, and they didn't adjust for the humidity levels, and they ended up having a significant mold development in their library and in their cafeteria. So it's, you know, you definitely have to monitor it just like you would anything else. But it gets tricky because you got to know what's going on the exterior with your humidity levels to make the adjustments inside the building.
Other questions?
Or even something as simple on this, I don't know what side of the building gets a lot of the afternoon sun, but something to just
massive sun sheets.
Keep the sun, it literally like
no, we've got there.
So
we're
looking.
We're looking at shades. We're looking at other shades for possibility.
Ridiculous temperatures, and when Regents Week comes, it's a thing. It impacts kids' performance on Regents exams. So.
Well, none of our kids take Regents in classrooms. They're all in the dome, but or the gym. But it's hot in the gym too.
Yeah. So.
We've talked to Sean. They're looking at it's that side of the building that's mostly the issue because it gets that direct sun from the afternoon.
What about the bathrooms over at the grass field, soccer field? Are we gonna actually make those workable?
Are
you gonna make people walk all the way over here?
Well, there's nothing in them right now.
No.
We talked about that old concession stand.
Yeah.
Brian, are there any fixtures in that? No.
They've been tore out. Yeah, we did look at renovating that building as well as the track shed and the concession building. The challenge with those is, as Ben was saying, he's trying to keep the project 99% dateable. So those facilities that are outside your instructional buildings are not covered by them.
Yeah. So whatever we put into them, it's eating right out of the, well, it makes it a local share. We have to increase the tax rate to offset. Because I wanted just the bathroom facility and ripped the other stuff down, right. And then the track sheds looks like a scene from The Walking Dead. But we're trying to redo that as best we can without having to impact the project. Porta potties, not ideal.
Yeah, we just spent $65 million. You like our porta potties?
Yeah. Well, as I said, I mean, we can up it. I mean, we had it in the project. It just becomes a local share.
We got a porta potty.
I mean, I'm certainly we can up that. And
why not look at it?
Well, maybe we could figure out a different name. You know, slip it on something else.
I mean, it's going to be. We looked at it because we looked at the stands, we looked at the track shed, we looked at the former concession stand, and it all came back to the tune of I think it was like $650,000, $700,000,
yeah.
Ballpark, and that's all taxpayer money.
You're already doing the stands.
You're refurbishing them, right. And moving some things around.
Don't worry about the
bathroom. You guys are the. If you want us to look at it and come back with a different plan where a portion is unaidable and it's a tax increase, we can do that.
I think you're going to have a much better sell going out and saying no tax.
No, I'm just wondering how much it is.
It's about $600,000.
For a bathroom?
Yeah.
For the bathroom and the track shed, would have been about $600,000, six and change if I remember back. We had it in there. We had two locker rooms, or well, actually, it was going to be four locker rooms when we were all said and done. Off of that, it's not aided, and that was about $1.5 million that we had to take away. I mean, we can look. I mean, the board, I mean, Pam, you were there, Ronnie, Craig, I don't.
Yeah, I know. I'm just asking.
Yeah.
I know we have $370,000 left over.
That's included in this.
A half bath, no showers?
Any other questions for these guys?
Don't laugh at them.
I'm not.
Yes, you are.
I'm not laughing at.
Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you guys. Very much. Very informative.
Thank you.
And good to see you guys again. Good seeing you. Okay. We are on
number five.
Reporting five.
This is the annual school fire inspection report. With having the approval of the superintendent of the schools, the Board of Education of the Augsburg City School District does hereby accept the annual fire inspection report the 16th day of October
2023. Is there a recommended action?
Second.
Mr. Sutton?
Aye.
Mr. Zito?
Aye.
Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
Mrs. Lucky?
Aye.
Mrs. Robert?
Aye.
Mr. Meyer?
Aye.
Mrs. Bio?
Aye.
Report number six.
This is the establishment of extracurricular student team, modified competitive cheering, grades 7 through 9. That having the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education of the Augsburg City School District does hereby approve and authorize the establishment of the expenditures for the modified competitive cheering for the 2023-2024 school year on the 16th day of October 2023.
Is there a recommended action?
Please call. Mrs. Gugino? Aye. Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
This is a resolution to adopt the community code of conduct. They have the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education of the Augsburg City School District does hereby approve and authorize the community code of conduct for the 23-24 school year, the 16th day of October 2023.
Is there a recommended action? Please call the roll.
I have a question. Question. We have a lot of questions. Where did this come from? Why do we think that we have to?
Well, we already
to our code of conduct that we already have.
Well, we already have the code of conduct already spells out many of these pieces.
Right.
This came from a conversation with principals, superintendents from the region. There's another school district that shared this with us that they put this out there for their community. What we have happening, no short order is poor behavior. Poor behavior of parents, poor behavior of visitors, community members, and what we want to do is hold them accountable for the same behavior we expect out of our students. That's pretty much all it is.
Threatening.
Yes.
And those are already in. And the thing that's already in there, it also has staff.
Correct.
This does not.
Well, this isn't a staff. This is a community code of conduct. We already have policies and contract language that goes against staff if they abuse certain things.
It's already in the code of conduct, and it's included
right. With
visitors.
Right.
All right there.
And we're just taking it out and sharing it with them in a way that is much more user-friendly about our expectations when they're
it's
on
much
campus.
More restrictive on what they can and can't say. That's what this is. And the schools should be provided an opportunity before they're criticized.
That's all we're asking.
Why do you think the school deserves that? Why do you think I shouldn't be able to criticize something that's going on in the school without an opportunity for you to...
I'm not saying you don't or you should or you shouldn't. What I'm trying to say is, in the situation we're dealing with right now, we cannot stop the bullying and the harassment in this district amongst its students without policing the parents that are modeling this type of behavior. It is out of control. I've got parents that are calling us every name in the book. I've got parents that are harassing, intimidating, demeaning towards administrators, teachers, students for that matter. I'm not saying it isn't. All I'm doing is putting this in a way that the board sees it, that can go out to parents and say, this is the behavior we expect, whether on campus or off campus at an event that's involving our school. It's asking for the same behaviors that we hold our kids accountable to be held to the community and visitors.
And when we define and we say it's prohibited to be harassing, threatening, abusive, disruptive. I don't like those words because according to who? If I criticize, you, she's going to automatically assume and automatically feel that I'm being disruptive, threatening, everything.
So we would investigate it in the situation if it was a minor.
So what happens to the person in the meantime?
Nothing.
Say the parent or whatever is, by definition, doing a prohibitive behavior.
Correct.
And ultimately, I would assume that they can come to the board and fight it, right?
Any situation where I...
So in the meantime, over that next month, what happens to that parent?
They are allowed back until it is deemed...
Nothing happened.
Right?
Does that say that?
No, that's in the appeals policy that New York State provides. Every student, teacher, community member can appeal to the Board of Education.
I don't like policies based on a person's feelings. I like the other policy where it says intentional destruction of property. I like that. I mean, if you're intentionally destroying things.
But this is
very explicit about, this is very specific language.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Well, I think it's in the best interest of our staff, our students, our teachers, all of the people that work in these buildings, that we outline that we are no longer going to accept these behaviors on a day-to-day basis because these things are happening every single day in school and we just have to stop them.
Correct.
I think it's already addressed in the code of conduct, though.
I don't think it's addressed this explicitly. This outlines very specific objective behaviors that we are seeing that we're just not going to tolerate. And if you don't do these things, you're not going to be called to the carpet.
Well, that's the problem. I always
We're
do
just
these
asking
things.
For people to be respectful.
That's the problem. I always do these things.
I don't think right. You understand what these things look like, Mike.
I don't. I'm reading what he's got in writing.
I can't imagine, you know.
And what he has in writing, not you specifically, but what we're putting in writing, I do a lot of these things by accident on an everyday basis to certain people.
He hurts my feeling
all
so,
the time.
So I
just think it restricts the First Amendment way too much.
Well, everybody that
and
I've...
In the code of conduct, it says
well,
you don't want to restrict the First Amendment.
And every parent I've ever walked up to that was making a threatening or demeaning comment towards somebody says it was on accident, and for the most part, they don't take ownership of it, and it is my job, you've hired me, my job to make sure that the conduct of the students, the conduct of the staff, the conduct of the community, and the conduct of any visitor is acceptable, and when it's not, I hold them accountable for it. That's my job. If the person who has been suspended or removed from campus for whatever reason thinks they have were removed without due process or without their side being heard, they certainly can appeal to the board. We've had it happen. You know,
we have had it happen.
Yeah, I suspended him for a year, and the board agreed to 2 months, which was, I'm okay with that. I don't lose sleep over that, but at least we all agreed that suspension was necessary for that person because of their behavior. I mean, I had a parent refer to another parent with a racial slur last year and had a fist fight on the property of the school district in the second week of school. That person had an order of protection filed against them from one of my administrators and is therefore not allowed on school property until January of 2024. And that's been an entire year and a half. And that person didn't appeal, but that person was held to that level of expectation. I had to even take the other parent and had to impose a suspension. That is, even with kids, that is my job. We have kids.
With the current code of conduct.
And I agree with you. So all I'm doing is taking the current code of conduct and putting it in a nice one-pager that will have on the bottom of it who to contact if you have a question on things, and it'll go out to parents so they're reminded that we have appropriate behavior.
It's just adding things I don't do.
Section 10 had to do it with quirks.
And I don't disagree with your statement on that. I'm not trying to minimize your position on this.
In Section 10, like she just said, did the same thing with the refs.
Sure.
Yeah. Whoever was on the board when we dealt with that before, we know the refs lied in writing about a certain situation to try and get somebody.
Correct. Which we took upon ourselves to review all the data,
And that ref was held accountable.
Correct.
Right, and that's just
as a guest of the school district at that day.
Okay. Any other questions? Please call
the roll.
Mr.
Johnson.
Aye.
Mr. Malone.
Aye.
Mrs. Lucky.
Aye.
Mrs. McRoberts.
Aye.
Mr. Myers.
No.
Mrs. Theo.
Aye.
Mr. Sutton.
Aye.
This is the first review and discussion of district Narcan policy. No actions necessary. This is something that is very real, and we will have at one point in time, or at some point in time, staff that are trained in administering Narcan should there be an overdose situation.
We don't have any at the present.
No, we do not. You have to be trained and certified. Yeah.
We actually offered this fall. And does this do something for insurance if you have a certain number of employees that are trained?
We are told no.
There was some hook.
I have a meeting with public health, and that is on my first question. Is there any impact to insurance? I don't believe there is.
Not insurance. There's something. If a certain percentage of your staff was trained, there was...
Like a reduction or something. Yeah,
I don't know if it was insurance purposes.
Foy's looking into that for me. So.
But we did this, and I don't know if it's the same training. It was literally 10 minutes.
Yeah, it's not long. It's not long.
You put the Narcan in the nose.
Right. You've got the training, right? You've got the training.
It's not like a half-day full. Yeah.
Well, they have to on school property for liability purposes to be able to say A, B, and C have access, but it isn't much. It's just a shot to the nose.
That's what I was asking, because we carry it. Parents carry it.
Yep.
You can get it anywhere.
You can buy it over the shelf.
What's the liability if a parent Narcan's kid or a staff member Narcan's kid?
No liability.
None. So I'm wondering. Like,
zero.
Good Samaritan.
Yeah, you're protected.
We don't have to wait for
nope.
someone to train.
Okay. Nope. We are protected by it. Our insurance company, in fact, actually is pushing this.
And you're putting it, they're going to put it with the AED?
Yeah.
It'll be locked up, but only those that have. We're going to put it. What they recommend is you put it in several areas of the school with a lock and key, and those that are certified, boom, bam, pull it out, they're off and running. And it'll be at several points because we're such a big campus. It'll be out in the fields. There'll be a lockbox for it out there in the fields. So.
Will teachers have it in their classroom?
If they're certified, they can have it in their classroom. It's got to be locked up, though. Yep. And I'm hoping that every teacher wants to do this. It's important.
It's reality.
It's coming to a district near you.
Yep. It's important.
Yep. Something on,
all you can do is touch something.
It's going to happen. Yeah.
Many drug addicts carry it now.
Scary.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
You're protected. Everybody. Yeah, everybody's here.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, there's just the information only. First read. First read.
So is this report number 9.
This is the 2023-2024 property tax collections. No action necessary, information only.
Any questions? Report number 10.
This is a resolution to approve change order 01-GCAA-4-003, 2023 capital outlay project, OFA Golden Dome project number 2023-008. That having the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, Board of Education of the Augsburg City School District, does hereby approve change order 01-GCAA-4-003, 2023 capital outlay project, OFA Golden Dome project number 2023-008, presented this 16th day of October 2023.
Is there a recommended action?
Second.
Please call the roll.
Mr.
Lamont?
Aye.
Mrs. Mcgrath? Aye.
Mr. Myers?
Aye.
Mr. Steele?
Aye. Mr. Sutton?
Aye.
Mrs.
Rizzuto?
Aye. Mr.
Johnson?
Aye.
Board number 12.
This is the board acceptance of corrective action plan for the audit of 2022-2023. That having the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education of the Augsburg City School District does hereby approve the response and action plans to be submitted to SED on the 16th day of October 2023.
Is there a recommended action?
So moved.
Second. Please call the roll.
Mrs. Lucky?
Aye.
Mrs. McRoberts?
Aye.
Mr. Myers?
Aye.
Mrs. Peel?
Aye.
Mr. Sutton?
Aye.
Mrs. Rizzuto?
Aye.
Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Lamont?
Aye.
Did we skip over 11?
Yeah. 11 was first. Yeah, yep. About an hour and 12 minutes ago, right?
This is a resolution to approve budget transfers. That having the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education, the Augsburg City School District does hereby approve the budget transfers as per the attached request for budgetary transfers on the 16th day of October 2023.
Please call
the roll. Mrs. McRoberts?
Aye.
Mr. Myers?
Aye.
Mrs. Peel?
Aye.
Mr. Sutton?
Aye.
Mrs. Rizzuto?
Aye.
Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Lamont?
Aye.
Aye.
Can I'll entertain a motion for a...
Mr. Johnson?
Yes.
I need to abstain from number 14.
That would be the coaching.
B1.
So B1.
Yeah.
All right.
So, sorry.
No. Do you want to do this separate then?
I don't care.
Okay. I'll entertain a motion for a consent agenda on item B1.
Sorry.
And then we'll do 2 and 3. We'll do B1 first.
So moved.
Second.
So we're doing a motion to approve Mr. McRoberts as winter track coach first.
Yes.
And then we'll do the full consent on B1 to B3
okay.
Without McRoberts.
That's what we just said.
Okay.
So B1 is...
No, I'm helping her.
Yes.
Hold on.
Mr. Myers.
Put your bass back on there.
Aye. Mr. Sutton?
Aye.
Mr. Rizzuto?
Aye.
Mr.
Johnson?
Aye.
Mr.
Lamont?
Aye.
Mrs. Lucky?
Aye.
Okay, now B2 and B3. I'll entertain a motion to accept them on consent agenda.
And the rest of
B1.
Moved.
Second.
Please call the roll.
Mrs. Peel?
Aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye
brought before the board? Are there concluding comments by citizens, board members?
We're going to keep those boards, right, from the rink? We'll put them up.
We're going to auction them off, hopefully.
Fine.
Let's get a little money from them.
Administration?
Next meeting, November 6, 2023, 6 p.m. right here.
Okay. I'll entertain a motion to go to executive session for matters of personnel.